Continue our series today, brilliant, which is on love, hope, and faith in uncertainty. You know, when I started doing this series, everything was seeming a little bit more certain, okay? We were talking about a good Christmas, and Boris Johnson was sharing about how we're going to have to make some sacrifices earlier on, then Christmas will be great. Now, this week, we're hearing in Scotland, they're telling people to prepare for a digital Christmas, that Christmas is going to be different, that we don't know what's going to happen. Like this week, Stoke's gone into level 2, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Have you noticed that? How everything gets uncertain. And the thing I'm noticing is this. The more uncertain things get, the more crazy people get. Isn't that right? Or is that just me? Just go on Facebook. The more uncertain things get, the crazier people seem to get and what people seem to do. And the one thing that I think we really need when living in uncertainty is wisdom. So today we're going to look at Ruth chapter 3, and we're going to look at the wisdom that Ruth and Naomi showed. Because I wonder, have you ever done anything unwise? Do you want to put your hands up if you've done anything unwise? Some of you, yeah, you have. Some of you, my wife's got her hand up there. I think she's probably going to say she's unwise when she married me, but I've got a suspicion. That might have been it, but hey, that might be a nod going on up there. There's different things that people feel, and different ways people feel when they feel unwise and mistakes they make. You know, when I was younger, when I was at sixth form college, I made quite a few unwise decisions. I remember when I tried to pass biology by not turning up to any biology classes. Okay, that was a really unwise decision, and I failed biology miserably. And there's so many other unwise decisions I made. But you know, wisdom is so important. Having wisdom is really important. Having wisdom in uncertainty is really, 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 really important. You know, it's a bit of sometimes when things get uncertain, the thing which we do the most is we start doing really silly things. You know what, how many times when people have given you advice, there seemed to be when they said to us about social distancing, it felt like some people were going out and licking every lamppost going because they wanted to prove it wrong. And they weren't showing any wisdom. You know what, wisdom in uncertainty is so important. When we are wise, we can see God move in such greater ways in our own lives as well as the world around us. And Naomi, if you want to turn to Ruth chapter 3 with me, if you're following in your Bibles. And just to clarify, for those of you guys listening in, you have these as well on the front of your pew. If you've got a smartphone and you'll see one of these, if you scan that on your smartphone and your barcode reader on your camera, it will take you through to the PowerPoint that's on the screen. So if you want to have the PowerPoint available, some of you like having PowerPoints, scan the little scanner in front of you and choose the PowerPoint for today. But I love this in Ruth chapter 3 here. We've got the story, just to recap for those of you who haven't been with us or not heard all the sermons online so far. The story of Ruth and Naomi starts with Naomi and her family leaving Israel and going to Moab. When they went to Moab, which was a neighboring country, Naomi's two sons married two girls from Moab. What happened then was Naomi's husband died, and then both Naomi's sons died. She was lost absolutely everything. She then said to her daughter-in-law, she goes, I've got no one else in my family for you to marry. I want you to go home to your families, remarry, have a good life. But Ruth, one of Naomi's daughter-in-law, said this. She said, Naomi, I'm not going to leave you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you, the God that you worship, I'm going to worship. I'm going to follow you and I'm not going to leave you. I'm sticking by you no matter what. So they eventually moved back to Israel. And when Naomi got back to Israel, Naomi was just bitter and angry. Her life was just, she'd lost everything. And they didn't have anything. Because women in those days living out in Israel, they didn't have wealth. They didn't have money. They weren't allowed to own a property. They weren't allowed to have anything. So Ruth went out to the fields. And part of the Israelite laws following the Old Testament Torah was that they were allowed to go and pick up the harvest from the edge of the fields. And that's what they did. And that's how Ruth survived. But God then gave Ruth favor with a guy called Boaz. And this, what happened was, Boaz started to take a little shine to Ruth. And Boaz was sort of like, quite liked Ruth. And Naomi discovered something. This was before the time of internet dating or anything else, okay? For those of you who tried that. This is way before that. And Naomi goes, you know what, Ruth? That guy Boaz, who quite likes you, can I let you know that he's related to me? Which means he's got to marry you because he's your kinsman redeemer. So what happens then is Naomi then sets out and she has this plan. She says, what I want you to do, she says, Ruth, I want you to go and I want you to put on your best clothes. And I want you to put on perfume. And I want you to go to Boaz and I want you to go and lie at his feet. This is crazy. I don't know about you. You know when any of you ladies, if you remember when you were trying to get a partner, okay, you're trying to meet your husband many years ago, did you think of lying at their feet? Okay, was that sort of a way of doing it? Sort of a bit of a random way of doing it. Perfume, I understand. Putting on good clothes, I understand. But it was bonkers. I'm going to unpack it a bit more in a minute. But that's what she got her to do. But when I read the story, I'm impacted. Because there's three things, which I'm going to unpack in a moment, that I think is so wise that what Naomi and Ruth did. The first thing is this. Naomi saw what God was doing. She saw that God had placed Ruth in Boaz's field, that Boaz was a distant relative. And in her wisdom, she thought, ah, God's doing something. The next wise thing that happened was this. Is when she spotted that God is doing something, Ruth then didn't go, oh well, God wants me to marry Boaz. I can turn up in my old scruffy clothes and not make an effort because God's going to make it happen. No, no, no. The next bit of the story, which you'll read in a minute, Ruth makes an effort. She makes an effort for Boaz. That's wisdom. You know when God wants you to do something, you've got to make an effort to make it happen, don't you? You can't just expect it to happen. And the next thing is this. Ruth didn't go up to Boaz and say, Boaz, you've got to marry me. I know I've seen films and TV shows when it happens, but I know in my reality, if I went up to a girl when I was younger, and I was looking, I'm not looking at Dorian, I mean, he'll panic there. Okay, when I was looking for a lady, I wouldn't go up to her and go, you've got to go out with me. Wouldn't work very well, would it? Would you be impressed if someone came up to you and said that? Some of you said, depending who it is. Okay. But she didn't. Instead, Ruth came and approached Boaz. And she came and she served Boaz. She lay at his feet. She says, I'm here as your servant. And I'm really, really impacted because when Naomi and Ruth acted with wisdom, Boaz responded with great wisdom as well. And he said this at the end of the story. He says, you know what? I'm not the next relative who should marry you, but I want to marry you because you're a woman of great honor. And he says to Ruth, Ruth, I'm going to try and make sure that I marry you. That's a paraphrase. All of that happened because Naomi and Ruth showed great wisdom. They showed incredible wisdom. They really went for it. So I just want to quickly unpack these three bits for us today, okay? There's nothing else you pick up. These are the three bits to pick up. Number one is this. Wisdom is looking beyond yourself. Let's say that together. Wisdom is looking beyond yourself. Okay, really important. This is what it says in the first couple of verses. If you're following your Bible, Ruth 3, verse 1 to 2, and it says this. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. And the bit that really jumps out to me here is this. Is there came a point for Naomi. It was brilliant that Ruth was with her. That Ruth was going with her everywhere and that Ruth promised to go with her. But there came a point that Naomi realized that she was going to die. I think we're in this story. Naomi's come to the conclusion here that one day I'm going to die. Now, it's not very often that someone will be older than their mother-in-law. So we're going to guess pretty much by this story that Ruth was a lot younger than Naomi. And the great wisdom that Naomi showed here was this. Her wisdom was she didn't just think about me. She actually thought about Ruth as well. You know, a godly wisdom is not going home and thinking to yourself, as long as I'm sorted tonight, I'm okay. That's not godly wisdom. That's selfishness. And there's a great big difference between the two of them. But godly wisdom is thinking about other people the same way as you think about yourself. And when I read the story here, I'm really impacted by Naomi, because Naomi's wisdom isn't that she is provided for. Naomi's wisdom is that Ruth is provided for. Naomi's wisdom is that she won't be around forever. Guys, you know what? This is so, so important for us. We saw it this week with the MPs voting on not giving free school meals to children who need the school meals during the holidays. Everyone pointed out that the MPs were getting free meals at the Houses of Parliament but didn't want to give free kids in poverty free meals. And as we've seen, it kind of hasn't gone very well for them this week, has it? If you read the news. Why? Because they need to look beyond themselves to other someone else. Being wise is looking towards someone else. You know what my wisdom for my children is this. I could try and provide for my kids all the time and keep doing everything for them. But wisdom for me looking beyond myself is this. It might make me feel better to do everything for my kids. But there comes a time when my kids are going to grow up. There's going to come a time when I'm not going to be around. And wisdom is to equip my kids so that they can do stuff for themselves. There you go, wrong way here in the PowerPoint. The next thing here is wisdom. Is wisdom works with God's plan. Let's say that together. Wisdom works with God's plan. Now, this is what it says here in verse 3. It says this, "Now do as I tell you." This is Naomi talking to Ruth. "Take a bath and put on perfume. Dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor. But don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking." Okay, this next bit of wisdom. I'm going to sound a little bit sexist here, okay? I don't know if Ruth had turned up, as I said before, with straw in her hair, crazy hair, looking terrible, okay? Walking in and going, "You know what? God wants me to marry Boaz. Boaz is going to marry me." That would be the ultimate trial date, isn't it? You know, I remember years ago we had a family member. I hope he's not watching this video later on because it might embarrass him. But he put his passport photo on a dating site. And someone went, "If you've looked at your passport photo," I don't know how bad mine is terrible. "The one thing you don't do is put your passport photo on a dating site, okay? Not if you want to impress somebody." Okay, wisdom is to put your best photo on. I've had a few friends who have gone on dates and apparently the photos don't all match up with what people put online, apparently. But Ruth here is showing wisdom. Now, because if she wanted to go along with God's plan, she needed to impress Boaz. She needed to actually want Boaz to marry her. If Boaz didn't want to marry her, then God's plan would fall apart. I know God is sovereign and everything else, but God also needs us as humans to work with him. God needs us as humans to work with his plan. Guys, you know what? I've met Christians, and they turn around and they sort of say to me this. They say, "You know what? I'm praying for a job." I'm like, "Yes, good. I'm praying for you too." And they said, "But I've given God the criteria for my job." I want to work one day a week. I want to work 2 hours one day a week. And I want to be paid £50,000. We've all met those people, haven't we? And I'm saying, what about that other interview that God gave you? Oh, no. They don't want to work with God's plan. They set unrealistic targets. I then met other people who'd be like, I want God to find me the perfect job. God's going to show me the perfect job. And I say to them, have you been on the internet? Have you been on Indeed, the job site? Nope. Why not? Well, if God's going to make it happen, it's going to happen. I'm just going to wait here for God to make it happen. We've all met Christians like that, haven't we? Well, people like that. And there comes a reality in your situation, especially in our situations that we're in today, that wisdom works with God's plan. It works with God's plan. Wisdom doesn't just sit back and say, well, God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You know, I shared a couple of weeks ago, it was two weeks ago. It's for those of you who are in the building, not online. It's on the message on the computer at the moment, on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube now. It talks about actually not being lazy. And wisdom is not lazy. And the thing that impacts me here with Ruth is making an effort to see God's plan come through. She's trying her best. You know, as a pastor, God might put a word on my heart, but I've got to prepare the word for you, because that's what wisdom is preparing it. God may call these young girls to lead worship, but they'll tell you, I've drilled them, okay, in guitar practice over and over again to get there, because you've got to work. Wisdom works with God. It's not good enough to say, oh, God called me to be a worship leader. You've got to learn how to play an instrument. And guys, I don't know what situations each of you are going through today. For those in the building and those listening online. But what wisdom is looking at your situation and saying, what does God need me to do today? How do I need to work with God to make his plans happen for my life? What do I need to do? If you're unhappy about your job and you're praying for a new job, what do you need to do to make it happen? I love this saying, I'm sure you've heard this before. Pray as if everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on you. And that's what Ruth did. She prayed as if everything depended on God, but she worked. She made the effort as if it all depended on her. The final thing, so if you're falling asleep, we're nearly there, guys, don't worry. This is what I read. Wisdom is humble. Let's say that together. Wisdom is humble. I just want to read, if you're following, from Ruth 3, verses 7 to 11. And this is what it says. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Now, if you went to sleep with that woman lying on your feet and you wake up with a woman lying on your feet, you're going to be a little bit startled, aren't you? I love the way the Bible describes it there. Then it says in verse 9, Boaz says, "Who are you?" "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This is kindness. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." I just find that bit really fascinating. Because Ruth approaches Boaz really humbly. She doesn't come, she says there, "I am your servant." I love that. You know what, sometimes, especially when we're going through hard situations, especially when we're going through uncertain times, we can turn around and we can say, "It's my right, it's my right, it's my right, this is my right, this is my right," and we can keep doing that. But guys, that's not going to win us any friends. That's not going to help us in our situations. Wisdom in uncertainty is humble. Wisdom says, I need other people's help. Wisdom says, I need to approach people as their servant, as such. When I'm looking for employment, maybe I need to approach them not with arrogance, but with a heart of service. Wisdom shouldn't say, I'm too important to be in this predicament. But instead, wisdom is really, really humble. And guys, I don't know about you, but I'm having to learn humility at the moment. My wife, we were talking about this the other day, and we're talking about the whole coronavirus situation, and some people saying it shows there's no God. And Amy turned around and said to me, Jim, for her, it actually showed there is God. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, everything is so out of our control at the moment. You know what, before we'd always trust in medicine, wouldn't we? Medicine has been really slow. It feels like it's slow. It's not really slow, but it feels like it's slow. Medicine can't seem to get us out of this predicament. Scientists can't seem to get us out of this predicament. Doctors can't seem to get us out of this predicament. Prime ministers can't seem to get us out of this predicament. No one seems to be able to get us out of this predicament, can they, at the moment? They said we'll have a vaccination by September, then Christmas. Now they're talking about April. And the thing I'm learning is this. I can't control anything. I can't control anything. Wisdom is humble. You know what? Ruth didn't approach Boaz with arrogance and cockiness. Ruth approached Boaz as a servant. Guys, you know what? I just want to encourage you, just as we finish, as we close. Wisdom at the moment is when you talk to God, don't shout to God and say, God, it's unfair. You might feel that life's unfair at the moment, but I want to encourage you instead to approach God as a servant. Say, God, I can't do this by myself. I need you. Please, can you help me? And I do read the Bible quite a lot. I know my theology. And when I read the Bible, when people approach God with an act of service, he seems to do a lot more than when you approach them with an act of arrogance. You know, in uncertainty, wisdom is humble. And I just want to finish with these words. You know, when I was appointed pastor here 7 years ago, I was a 27-year-old at the time when I got interviewed and they offered me the job here. I took over when I was 28, but I was really, I feel young now, but I was really young back then to be a senior minister. I know some people say, Pastor, when you came here, we thought, who have they appointed? He looks like he's just come out of school. Oh my goodness, you look young. And they still say that about me now. So it's okay. But I remember I was just thinking to myself, how can I do this job? I didn't have any desires to be a senior minister. It wasn't the thing that I wanted. I really didn't want it, if I'm really honest with you. But I felt it's what God wanted. And the passage which I read over and over again, when I didn't know what to do, when I was sitting in uncertain times, I read 2 Chronicles 1. And for those of you who don't know this, I encourage you to read it later. It was when King Solomon became king and he took after his dad. And I knew Pastor Peter had done a great job here. I knew Pastor Peter had served God faithfully. He had sacrificed. He'd seen amazing stuff happen. There were like 8 people when he took over the church. And he saw the church move to this building and saw incredible things happen. And I was like, God, you expecting little old me to follow him? What do I do? What do I say? When do I have the words? I upset people when they come to me. I don't really help them. Well, how am I going to cope as a pastor? And I was taken to this passage. And in this passage, Solomon says, God, my dad was the best king ever of Israel. He was so successful. How can I follow him? And God says, I'll give you anything you want. And he says, God, please can I have wisdom? Please can I have wisdom? And the words he actually says is this. He says, give me wisdom and knowledge. Guys, for the first few years of me leading this, even now for me leading this church, my prayer to God is this. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Guys, if you're going through a tough time at the moment, if you don't know what's going on, and you don't know the future, and you're trying to work out what God wants, pray that God gives you wisdom. Pray that God gives you wisdom. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you.